presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so I think in some ways my teaching is kind of a continuation of Barney's teaching. Barney's teaching on our secret place. The name of my sharing this morning is Fellowship is the Secret. So in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." God wants us to have fullness of joy in our lives. And the way He has provided that fullness of joy is through fellowship with Him. He has made us His sons, and we now have the opportunity to have fellowship with Him moment by moment as His children. If you'll just turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See, it's in that fellowship, that full sharing, that relationship with God as our Father that we have fullness of joy. In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." So God is very clear here for us. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God," and we are. Aren't we? And we are the sons of God. And the beholding that God's Word is talking about here is the beholding of our sonship. From the time that we got born again of God's Holy Spirit and we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, all the way until the time when we will see Him as He is. See, it's a complete beholding. And as I was thinking about this word behold, because it's a very strong word here, and I was thinking, what are some of the things that we behold? And I was thinking about a vacation Trish and I just had when we went to Hawaii. And one of the things that is very common over there that I'm sure you've heard and seen are the sunsets. The sunsets are something that are really something to behold in over there because they're just absolutely beautiful. We kind of had an interesting set of circumstances with this whole sunset thing, because the first two or three sunsets were not very bright at all. And we were out there at the right time in our beach chairs with our camera. But there was some clouds, and so the sunsets were nice, but they weren't really the kind of brilliant sunsets that Hawaii is known for. And then we got busy while we were there, so there were a few days where we didn't see the sunset at all because we were out doing something, having fun. We had a great time. We were eating dinner or whatever. But then the last few days, we really wanted to get a great picture of a sunset, but it seemed like we were just a little too late. So we would be out doing our affairs of the day, and all of a sudden it would hit us, sunset, you know? And so we would speed to a place we could see the lights in the sky. We would speed to a spot where we could see the sunset and get a great picture, but we were too late. So then the second night before we were leaving, and we were just having a ball. We were out having a good time. And so then the second night before we left, we see in the sky, oh my gosh, it's sunset. We can't see the sunset. We got to get to the sunset. So we get to a spot where we can pull over. We pull the camera out. Oh, it's already halfway done. Oh gosh, terrible. So the last night, last day, we went to this place called the Lavender Farm. And so we're driving home, and now we're prepared. We're ready. We're ready for the sunset. And so we're well in advance, and we look out on the sky, and the sky is totally clear, and we know this is going to be it. This is going to be the sunset. And so we get in position, we got our camera ready, and we're out of film. No, not really. We get in position, and also there's all these people racing around us all trying to get to the sunset, you know. So we get in position, and it's an absolutely beautiful sunset. It starts out with this brilliant, bright lighting, and then it's bright and yellow bright, and then it starts to get oranger, and then it gets into this really deep orange, and it was just a beautiful sunset. And so we sat there for several minutes, and then Trish, being the photographer she is, she was getting the sunset, and then I watched her, she turned around, and as she turned around that way, she got a picture of the moon coming up. So in her little photo display that she has now, you can watch it, she'll show you. But anyway, it was a brilliant sunset. It was something that we really enjoyed, we beheld, you know, it was God's beauty. You know, there is a verse in Psalms that talks about the heavens declare the glory of God, and, you know, all of this stuff was created for us to enjoy, but it was something we beheld. But this behold here, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, it's not just a single event where we behold and then it passes and we move on. This is an ongoing behold, and it's not a passive behold either. When we behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment thing that we do. It is an active thing that we do. It's a continual action that we do to behold His love and that He made us His sons. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. The way we behold this love and the way that we behold this incredible, awesome, really undescribable privilege that we have as sons is through our fellowship with Him moment by moment. That really is what that beholding is all about. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." And actually that word, the verse ends after blame before Him, and verse 5 starts out, "in love." In love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6, "to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us lovely and acceptable." See, that sunset's beautiful, but it's nothing compared to what He has done in us through Jesus Christ. He has made us lovely and acceptable. And in verse 5 says, "In love He pre-marked us unto sonship according to the good pleasure of His will." And that word "will" means His intense desire. Many of you have heard this before. In love, He pre-marked us unto sonship according to His intense desire. He had an intense desire to have children, to have sons. And we are those children that His intense desire originated. We are those children sitting in this room. Think about the dignity of and the privilege that we have to be sitting side by side with the result of His, God Almighty's, intense desire. It's fantastic. So what I would like to do is, I talked about how this beholding is a continual action, and to really behold, we have to participate. It's something that we live moment by moment in our relationship with our Father. And we're going to look at some examples of Jesus Christ's life, who is perhaps one of the greatest examples of that relationship with the Heavenly Father. And we're just going to look at some verses relating to that. If you would turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 19. what we're going to see is that that is what made Jesus Christ's life so full and so powerful and so impactful, was that he fellowshiped, he shared fully with God moment by moment on a continual basis, and developed a tremendous confidence in his relationship with God. In John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." Jesus Christ said that the Son can do nothing of himself. Well, if Jesus Christ could do nothing of himself, is there anything that we can do of ourselves? No, not really. We just have to get honest, or not even get honest, but just become aware of the reality that really there's nothing we can do of ourselves without him. It's so wonderful. Verse 20, "For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel." See, God made it so simple for us, and he made it easy for us to understand, watch me and do what I do. Isn't that so typical of a father? Watch me and do what I do. And you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And that word followers means imitators. We're to imitate him. That was what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ went to God's Word to learn about God. Jesus Christ spent time in fellowship and sharing with God and in prayer. And in turn, God taught Jesus Christ about who he was. And then Jesus Christ imitated that. Jesus Christ imitated who God was. Look at John chapter 6, verse 57. You know, it's so interesting when you get born again and then maybe you start to learn about God's Word in a wonderful class or in a fellowship or whatever the process is. But, you know, in many ways, the Bible is somewhat of a foreign book when you first get introduced to it. But I think in so many ways it's just so wonderful when you begin to really spend time just reading God's Word. God will help you, and he'll unfold that Word to us. And it's really so very simple. In John 6:57, it says, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as the fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And it said here in verse, and there's a whole context to this which we won't get into, dealing with Jesus Christ's body and his blood. But he says here in verse 57, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father." See, the Father was Jesus Christ's sustenance. The Father, that's what allowed Jesus Christ to live and walk victoriously in his life. Flip over to John chapter 7, verse 28. And it's so wonderful. Just take some time to, when you have some time, to just go through the Gospels and look at Jesus Christ, his life, what he said about his relationship with the Father. In John chapter 7, verse 28, it says, "Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." So Jesus Christ said, "I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him." How did Jesus Christ know him? Jesus Christ developed a relationship with him. He developed a relationship with him through prayer, through reading his word and studying his word on a regular basis, through sharing with God and fellowshipping with God, through his personal time when he went to that secret place. That's how he knew him. And he developed a tremendous confidence in his Father, a tremendous knowledge of who his Father was and what Jesus Christ's role was as his Son. Look at John 8:14. See, I guess the point about fellowship is the secret, or our secret place, is that it's not just enough to know about him. We have to know him. We have to have a personal relationship with him. And that's what he desires, a personal relationship with us. That's his whole motivation. In John 8:14, Jesus Christ answered and said to them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." Verse 16, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me." See, he had that awareness. That was a reality for Jesus Christ. When he said, "I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me," what he was saying is, "I know who my Father is, and I have a relationship with my Father." Isn't that fantastic? And then in verse 19, and then said they unto him, "Where is thy Father?" And Jesus answered, "Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also," because he made known the Father. And then let's look at John 8:28. Just look over to verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." See? God taught Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a wonderful, loving relationship with his Father, as we do. That same opportunity that he had, we have. God has that same desire to have that intimate, moment-by-moment fellowship with us. That's his desire. And the more we become childlike in our understanding and in our practice, the more we realize that there's nothing we can do of ourselves, the more this becomes alive. The more we see God's Word from a perspective of our relationship with Him. Let's look at John, let's look at verse 54 of the same chapter, chapter 8, verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God." Verse 55, "Yet ye have not known him, but I know him." He knew, he said, "I know him." Well, do we know him? We do. The answer is yes, we know him. And so we can speak confidently about him. And in verse 50, continuing, "And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 15. Just a few examples of what Jesus Christ said about his Father and his relationship with his Father. 10:15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father." And the reason we're reading this in the Gospel of John, by the way, is because the Gospel of John depicts Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Son. And that's why we're reading all these out of John. So, again, in verse, "And I lay down my life for the sheep." Look at verse 29 of the same chapter, John 10:29. Says, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." See, it was the Father that gave them to him. And then in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Now, if you have a child, and you say, and your child says, or you say, "I and my Father are one," or "my child and I are one," what does that really mean? It means that you're one heart. It means that you share in your purposes in life. If I said Rachel and I are one, it means that we're in sync. Our hearts are locked together in our purpose, in our goals, in our motivation. And so Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. How did he achieve that closeness with his Father? Through fellowship. Through sharing, through moment-by-moment sharing, through spending time in God's Word to understand who God was, and in prayer going to God. You know, it talks about, there's a wonderful psalm that says, I sought the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. Well, Jesus Christ sought the Father. Just like in that wonderful manifestation this morning, God said, seek me, ask. He said, come to my bosom. Now that's sonship there. That's sonship. Come to my bosom. So the last section in John that I want to look at is John chapter 11, verse 18. And I believe this will really bless you. And please, you know, when you have some time, I encourage you to go through some of the Gospels. It's really nice if you have a red letter edition, because then you can see the points where Jesus Christ actually spoke, which is kind of cool. But anyway, John chapter 11 is the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It's one of the great, really most impactful healings and deliverances in the Gospels. And Jesus Christ, as he was living and ministering and preaching God's Word, he developed a very close relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus was a very close friend, became a close friend. Excuse me. In John chapter 11, verse 18 is where we're going to pick up here. It says, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Lazarus was their brother who had died, and it was very sorrowful. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And we're going to pick the story up in verse 39. Now, you have to have a lot of confidence, and you have to have a dynamic relationship with the Father to make a promise, a commitment like that. You have to know that you know that you know, and you have to have checked with the management and know that this is available. And Jesus Christ had that relationship, and we have that same opportunity as his son. And in verse 39 it says, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Now they're standing in front of the sepulcher, and here is the miracle that is about to occur. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he shall have been dead 4 days. Lazarus has been dead 3 days and three nights. And I was talking with Jan about this earlier. It's just so wonderful because this is one of those shadowings of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ would do as giving his life as the Son of God for us. And when you were dead for 3 days and three nights, you could legally be deemed dead. And so he was dead. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? I love this. God just calls this his glory. It's going to be the glory of God. He's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Isn't that beautiful? And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Isn't that beautiful? Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou wouldest hear, that thou hearest me always. See, that's the relationship that Jesus Christ had with his Father. And that's the relationship we should have with our Father. That's the relationship he wants us to have with him. Jesus Christ said, The works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than these shall ye do. So this is available. Let's look at the last area we're going to look at is 1 John. Go back to 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to kind of wrap it up here. There were some other verses, and so we'll just kind of wrap things up here. But Jesus Christ said, Father, thou hearest me always. See, Jesus Christ had that relationship with God. He had that confidence with God where he could go to God and request something like this from the Father. God, my friend is dead. You know, I'd like to raise him from the dead. God's like, go for it. I'm behind you. You know? 1 John 5:14 says, And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. See? Isn't that beautiful? God's just, he's ready to do it with us. The same thing. The same kind of ministering. Bringing the same kind of deliverance to people. The high calling that he's called us to. You know, he pre-marked us in love before the foundations of the world. According to his intense desire. And now, He's put his spirit within us through the finished work of Christ. And now he said, the works that he did, you're going to do also. What a great privilege that we have. And we can do it. And so, but we have to be able to have that confidence in God and his word to be able to do it. We have to be able to have that relationship with him. And let's just close in Philippians 4:6. You know, we really have to go to that secret place, and that secret place is something that we need to do daily. I mean, there's some wonderful, when we look at Jesus Christ's life, we'll see that, like there's a great verse in the Gospels that says, He departed a great while before day to a solitary place, and there He prayed. Jesus Christ, early in the morning, prepared Himself, and He spent that special time with His Father. Because, see, we have and we manifest that power and that ability in our lives when we are connected to our Father. But we have a responsibility in that connection, in that we have to go to Him. We have to go to Him and fellowship with Him and talk with Him, see? And, you know, how many times in our lives where something comes up and we pray and God delivers us, 110%, absolutely delivers us, but you know, what can God do with us if we're more consistent? You know, that's a question we have to ask ourselves. And Jesus Christ prepared himself, I'm sure, daily. First with the Father, and then to realize that nothing he was doing was he doing of his own, but it was all the Father. And then God could talk to him, God could teach him, and God could prepare his heart. So when he walked out that door, he was connected to the Father. He was prepared in a practical sense. See? You know, it was so funny. I was watching, turn on the TV, and there's this guy on there talking about how he was going to his vacation home so he could get centered. You know? Well, first of all, sir, there is no centering outside of Jesus Christ. So if you really want to get centered, start out by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because outside of that, there is no centering. Okay? But maybe he was a believer and he just didn't tell us that part. But we have to get connected to the Father. We have to walk in fellowship with him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. See, we have to keep our mind stayed on the Father. If we lose sight of where our power source is and where our abilities are, then we're going to be trying to what? Do it on our own. And we know that doesn't work. Okay? So Philippians 4:6. And I have a number of verses which we're not going to go to here, but it says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but be anxious for nothing. God does not want us to have anxiety in our lives. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, our hearts will be prepared to serve and to walk with him and to be his ambassadors. You know, a lot of times when we recognize that we're anxious and we'll go to a brother and sister in Christ, and you know what? That's great, because a brother and sister in Christ can minister to us. They can tell us the promises of God's word. They can encourage us to trust God. But you know, even with that, you know, that does not it doesn't replace us going to God. We still have to go to God. And that's what that encouragement is when you go to a brother and sister of Christ, or when you go to one of God's wonderful ministers here, that you still have to go to God with that. You still have to seek him, right? Yeah. So, well, I'm just so thankful that we could just get into God's word about our fellowship with him. And, you know, I mean, I just really encourage all of us to really take this into really full consideration. You know, that it's really the difference between religion is, do we know about him or do we know him? He wants us to know him so much. And he wants to walk with us and talk with us and be a vital part of our lives. And so I really encourage you to maybe think about, and I think Barney's teaching, although I didn't hear it, was really, really, really great, a great recommendation that we find a time daily. And you know, we all live very busy lives. This is a busy planet we're on here now, you know. So maybe it's not the morning for you, but make it some time in your day that you spend some quiet time with God, because you will be so empowered by that relationship with him. And spend time reading his word every day. And spend time talking to him and sharing your heart with him. Do you want to know him better? Tell him that. He wants to help you do it. He's your Father. So, anyway, maybe I'll just pray? Okay, sure. All right. So,